I wonder now, before we pray, if there's anybody tonight that's interested in Him, but yet you haven't got your reservations yet for the other land where we're going to see Him. You know, you can't come in without reservations. And you haven't made them yet, but you would like to be remembered in prayer now that everything will be made right between you and God tonight. Would you just raise up your hand and just say, "Remember me, Lord." Just let Him see your hand. God grant it. Heavenly Father, as we stand tonight between the living and the dead, these things that's happening in these days, mysterious, sure they're mysterious. But God, You know whether they're true or not. You are the solemn judge of the heavens and earth. And we say this, Lord, just to encourage the people, some of the things that Thou hast showed us, that they might be encouraged to love You and believe You, serve You, and to know that no matter how little the deed is, good or bad, You see it. I pray, dear God, that You'll bless every one of those hands tonight. And the soul and spirit that motivated that hand to go up. I pray, God, that this will be the night that their reservations will be made for that land beyond the river. Granted, heal the sick and the afflicted, Lord, both here, all out across the land where the broadcasts through the phones are coming in. Bless those out there that's unsaved, all the way from California to New York, from Canada to Mexico. Grant, Lord, that every person under the sound of our voice tonight will be saved from their sins, healed of their sickness, because of Your divine presence. And this our brother Jackson, who's flown all the way down this 1,000 miles here to be here because something strangely stirred his heart. And they shall dream dreams and see visions. Dear God, Thou hast kept it a secret for me what this means. I don't know. But if You shall visit us, Lord, prepare our hearts now for that visit. We might be under expectations, not knowing what You will do and not knowing if You have promised to visit us by this dream. We do not know. But we are just quoting those things that we do understand, that You promised to visit Your people, and we pray that You'll make Yourself real to us here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Now, if you've got the book of Job, the 42nd verse, or 42nd chapter, and the first 6 verses of the 42nd chapter of Job, very strange. Brother Ted Dudley, if you're listening in tonight over in Phoenix, you remember you and I talking one time about a week or two ago and we referred to this. I told you someday that would become a text to me and I want to use it tonight. Then Job answered the Lord and said, listen close to this reading now. I know that Thou can do everything, and that no doubt can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I harbor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now I want to take a text from that 5th verse. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. May the Lord bless His Word. Job. Let's take a little of his life. Job was a prophet. He was a man that lived back before the Bible was written. It's been thought that Job was one of the oldest books of the Bible because it was written before Genesis was written. Job, this great warrior and prophet, was a mighty man in his day. No doubt that he had been brought up and had served the Lord all of his life. And had lived such a gallant life to the people. All had respects for him, but he'd come to a place to where he calls it, you're being tempted of the Lord. But I'd like to use the word being tested by the Lord. And truly, every son that cometh to God must first be tested, tried, child trained. And then if the testing gets hard and we think it's too hard and won't listen, take heed, then he said we become an illegitimate child and not a child of God, because there's nothing can move a real born-again child of God away from his parent. He's part of him. You can no more deny it, you can deny yourself. See, you've had the experience. You've been trained and tested. And now, this man, being a prophet, he had had access to God's grace. But Job didn't have a Bible to read. The Bible wasn't wrote then. But he had access to God by revelation and by vision. That's before the Bible was written. Now we find out and take some of his life. When God blessed him and made him a great man, why, even everybody respected him, even to his wisdom had become so great, his inspiration from God had vindicated him to be God's servant so plainly, until the people come from everywhere to hear him. And then Satan began to accuse that man. And that's the way he does ever inspired servant of God. Satan is always there to accuse him of everything that he does that's not right. Now we find out his life and trials and his great faith. Even Jesus, when he came on the earth, he referred to the patience of Job. He said, have you not read of the patience of Job? Faith waits with patience for the promise word to be fulfilled. Now we notice here that Job, after he went through his trials, all of his afflictions, he had a lovely family, they were taken from him. He had good health, it was taken from him. Everything that he owned in this life was taken, and he sat on an ash heap with a piece of crock scraping his boils. And even to his own wife spoke against him. She said, why not curse God and die? He said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Satan had come up before God, because he could come before God and accuse the Christians or the believers all the time. So he accused Job of many things and said it Job the reason he could serve God, because everything was coming good for him. But said, if you'll just let me have him in my hands, I'll make him curse you to your face. I want you to notice that the confidence that God had in a believer. See? In other words, God said to Job, or said to Satan like this, you can't do it. He's a just man, justified. He is a good man. There's not one like him in the whole earth. Oh, what a man. And God himself would say to his enemy, my servant is so perfect, there's not another man on earth like him. Oh, if we could only be that kind of a man. God could bestow that confidence upon us. That no, that will not twist from his word or his being anyway. Stay exactly, and he can put His trust in us. Now, Job was a man that carried out God's commandments to the letter. Exactly. And Satan knew that. But he said, if you just let me have him, I'll make him curse you to your face. So God told him, he said, now he's in your hands, but don't you take his life. And Satan even stretched as far as he could on that. He took every friend and everything he had, almost his complete life. But he couldn't take his life. But Job still held right on. There was no turning back. You see, when a man or a person has once really come in contact with God, with that genuine revealed faith that God is, there's nothing, no time, nowhere can ever separate that man from his God.
Amen.
I believe as Paul said, there's no strife, no hunger, no peril, neither living creatures or death or anything that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You are securely anchored in Him because you were ordained to that life. But Satan thought he could twist him around a little bit and cuff him up and make him do it. But you see, Job, with his perfect revelation of God and who God was and how God loved him, he waited, no matter what the circumstances was, he waited for his faith to be confirmed. Because it had a grip on God. A revelation that I spoke of last night. Now when the sick people, it's in the building, the crippled people, or you that have a need of God, when you can get that type of a revelation that you are justified, when you are actually justified in asking the thing that you're asking for and believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after Him, there's nothing can ever separate you from that faith that's anchored to you.
Amen.
But first it has to be revealed to you. Someone come not long ago, a group of men, some of them listening in tonight, and told me, said, I kept telling them, go to Kentucky. Oral's down there. I knew it was. I seen it in a vision. Well, Brother Demas and them didn't go for a long time. After a while, finally they said, after Texas had moved in, and they said, now we're going down. I said, you ought to have went a long time ago. But they didn't do it. Demas said, I made a great mistake in that. We're not doing that, Brother Branham. I said, if you'd have went down there, you'd have had it all. Well, they wouldn't listen to it. Then before we left that night, the place where we're having lunch, the Holy Spirit showed me a great crack in the earth. And in that was full of oil. And these overflows in Kentucky were just little beds of oil that they were pumping from. But this one come from the main stream. And I said, Brother Demas, it's there. So they went to searching for it. Said, go down and tell us where the oil well is. I said, no. See, we don't use a gift of God for commercial.
Amen.
No. He could tell me where it was at, but I don't have any need of it. I wouldn't have faith enough to ask Him. See, if I had a need of it, I believe I'd ask Him, He'd tell me. But first, you see, your motives and objectives has to be right. You have to have reasons for this. God don't give you those things just because you asked, and you cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to that. To be in the will of God. See? If you want to be well, what do you want to be well for? See? If you want to be healed, what's the reason you want to be healed? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? See? There's got to be, you've got to have a motive and objective, and they have to be right according to the will of God. And that's when the faith is revealed to you, and God by sovereign grace places that faith in there, then it's over. See? Now, to make that word true, when the brethren got down there, they got one fellow went over and bought a bunch of stuff and sold leases and cheated the other one in this way. I said, you see, it won't work. Now, just to make the prophecy sure, within 100 yards of where these men were digging their well, some man struck the big gusher. And it's there, 1,100 barrels of oil in a half a day or something like that, still putting it out, right in that mainstream. But just to make the prophecy, the word that had been said that it was there, it was there. The rest of them nearly is all dried up everywhere through Kentucky. Little ponds, they pump them a little while. They go, it's only the overflow from this. See? But because of the selfishness got among it, the objectives was wrong. Signing up a bunch of stuff that would be this way when they promised they would do it for the kingdom of God. But it looked like it's for themselves. See? And it won't work. No selfish thing will work. Your motives and objectives has to be exactly perfectly right. Then you have faith. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence. Amen. See, we've got to have confidence. I want this to the honor and glory of God. Then faith has a channel to move into. Amen. If it doesn't, then you've got mental, intellectual faith and not genuine faith from God. That intellectual faith will get you nowhere. Might get you emotional, but it won't get you the healing that you're looking for. So Job, checking himself with the genuine faith that God had given to him, that he was just, that he had done everything that God required him to do. Now, when we're going to be prayed for our sickness, I wonder if we have done everything that God requires us to do. Have we followed every iota of the Scripture? Have we given him our hearts and lives to service? What's the reason you want to be healed? That's the reason you can't get faith enough. See? Because you haven't maybe made this thing to God sincerely from your heart. Like Hezekiah did. Give God the reason. He wanted to set his kingdom in order. And God sent his prophet back and told him, and he'd be healed. See? But you have to have those things made right first. So then, as soon as you get to these places and know that it's been revealed to you by the Word of God, by the revelation, by the Word that God requires you to do, then you have faith, genuine faith. Now, just like Abraham, when he was 99 years old, I believe Genesis 17, God appeared to this old man now, 99 years old, when he was almost 100 years old, that had been waiting upon that promise all these years. He appeared to him in the name of El Shaddai, the breasted one. And what an encouragement it was, yet the promise wasn't fulfilled then, but Abraham, I am the Almighty God. El Shaddai, the strength giver, the breasted God. Like I've told you before, like the little baby that's fretting and sick and crying, and it lays upon its mother's breast and nurses its strength back from her because it's satisfied while it's a nursing, because the only access it has and knows of is the mother's breast. It knows no dose of medicine. You might give him a dose of medicine, he'd squeal and cry, give him a shot in the arm and he'd carry on, but the only access to satisfy him is a mother's breast. And he said, Abraham, you're old. Your strength is gone. Your arms are withered up. Your manhood's gone. But I am your mother. Just take a hold of my promise and be satisfied while you're waiting. Be rested. Now that's the way every believer, no matter how bad the cancer's got you, how long you've been sitting in a wheelchair, any of those things, just if you can grasp that revelation from God, then be satisfied knowing that it's going to happen, because faith waits patiently for the promise. Job knew that he was right. When we find out here in the Scriptures that there was, these fellows come to him, his church members, everything that once seemed dear to him had turned against him and tried to accuse him of being a secret sinner because all these things had happened to him. You hear people yet today say, I told you, look at him. You see, well, that ain't altogether the truth. Sometimes it's God testing his people. In this case, it was God testing Job, the best man there was on earth at the time. Now, he was holding him there because he knew Job was a prophet, that had a vision from God that he had exactly done what God told him to do, and God was duty-bound to keep his promise to him. All Christians has got to be that. When the last struggle of our life comes, and death rattles are in our throat, we still must hold steady and remember that God said, I'll raise you up again at the last day.
Amen.
Got to hold that. That our testimony, our place in Christ, our position, what we are, knowing that we have kept every word of his commandment. Blessed are they that do his commandments that they might have the right to enter in. See? And when we know that no matter what anyone has said, we've kept every commandment that we see in the Bible that God has done us, told us to do with reverence and love and respect to the Creator who wrote the Bible. We say man wrote it. Man of old, moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote it. God wrote it through man, like a prophet speaks his word. It's not the prophet's word, it's God's word. See, through the prophet. That's the reason it has to come to pass, if it's truly the truth. Now, we see this great man. And remember, Job had no Bible to read in his day. No, he only went by inspiration. He was a prophet to whom the word of the Lord comes to. He had only to be inspired because he knowed his position that he was God's prophet. Now, the only thing had to happen was for the inspiration to strike him. And then he knowed what he said would happen, because it was by inspiration. That's what the church, if it's in order, set in order, it's got the mechanics ready. It only needs then the dynamics. Tonight, if we'll get the mechanics ready, get our hearts right, the things that we can do, follow every word, follow him in baptism, follow him in every order that he told us to do, get every mechanic ready and stand there, then we're ready for the dynamics to be lit off.
Amen.
And only God can do that. And that's to drop into your heart that faith that says, I am now healed.
Amen.
That don't make any difference what circumstances is, you're healed anyhow. Because it's faith, by faith you're healed. He had a channel of communication to God that he got by inspiration. He had a way of moving himself out and letting God move in. And he knowed he was justified. It was a gift. It was a gift for the people. Not for Job, but for the people. That's what all divine gifts are, to serve God's people with. Everybody's not ordered to be a prophet. All of them is not ordered to be pray for the sick. All of them is not ordered to be pastors and so forth. But it's a channel that God has opened to them. And as we had this morning in the lesson, that one man has no business deviating in the next man's channel. No matter how inspired, how much it seems, how well, how many is at the meeting this morning? Let's see your hand. See, you cannot. There's David just as inspired as he could be. All the people shouting and glorifying God for a reason that seemed exactly scripture. But he was a wrong person. That inspiration should have come to Nathan, not David. See? He never even consulted Nathan. You see what happened? We have... God said he does nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophets.
Amen.
And Job was this prophet in this day. Now, only thing God had done to Job would always give him wisdom and his word and inspiration. He could get no inspiration. But he knew all of his mechanics. He had offered the burnt offering. He had done everything he knew to do was right. But he couldn't get a word from God. But the devil couldn't move him. There you are. Now, there you are when you're prayed for. You don't have to run back through a line or go let somebody else pray for you. When you know you've done exactly what God told you to do, see, then wait for that channel of inspiration to open up to you. Now I'm healed. When it drops in there, that's all over. Oh, you don't need no prayer lines, nothing else. It's over. It's been revealed to you. See? Just like the old prophet at the coming of the Lord Jesus. We find out it was revealed to him, the old sage, that he would not see death until he seen the Lord's Christ. And he believed that. And he waited for it. And the people thought he was crazy. The old man had lost his mind, but he still believed it. Nothing could shake him from it. He knew God had revealed it to him. For the Bible said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Some of you coming into the temple at that minute, walked over and gave praise to God and said, "Let thy servant depart in peace." When he picked up the baby, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He knowed he was going to see it. No matter how many babies he visited each day, he knew God had revealed to him that he was going to see the Christ before he died. Simeon believed that. Now when it's revealed to you that you yourself has received God's promise, the inspiration, you being Christians, it struck you. You don't even need a prayer line. The only thing you need is an open heart when all the mechanics are ready and let the inspiration drop in, and then nothing can change your mind. You've got it. Outside of that, it won't do no good. Now notice, Job needed a channel of inspiration. He had it open. He had a channel to communicate with God by his inspiration. He had a way of moving himself out and let the Word of God move in. Notice how they come to consult him from the east and from the west. People looking for him because they know that what Job said was the truth. They know that man told the truth, because what he prophesied, that's what happened. And so people come from the east and west. He said he'd go to the markets. The young princes from the east would bow before him just to hear one word of consolation from him. Great, mighty wisdom, because they know the man was honest. He didn't want to boast up himself. He had no axes to grind, no strings to pull. He's just an honest prophet before God. And they had confidence in him.
Amen.
And everybody come from east and west just to speak to him in a moment. He spoke of it in the Bible here. But you see, he liked inspiration to tell him what all this was about. God let it happen, didn't tell him. Then one day, we find out that in that's the time that everybody, as long as you can help them, all right. But when they want to disagree with you, that's when trouble comes in. But he alone knew he was right. His pulsation of faith, of hearing God's words speak to him, he knew it was the truth. Yes, sir, he knew God's voice. Nobody could fool him on it, for he knew it. But whenever something's revealed to you, maybe contrary to what the people think, I'm speaking a line of prophets. Once God reveals something, which if there ever is a secret comes out from God to be made known to the people, it will never come through a seminary. Amen. It will never come through a group of people. Amen. It never did. It always will, has, and will through one individual, a prophet.
Amen.
Amos 3:7. See?
Amen.
The Lord does nothing except first he reveals it.
Amen.
Through his prophets.
Amen.
And now Job had something wrong with him, but he couldn't get the inspiration on him. And it was wearing him. And that, when you get in that kind of a fix, that's when the enemy moves into every friend near to you, God. And they begin to accuse him. Oh, it must have been a miserable thing for him. And all his friends that accused him. Satan then goes and joins himself with the enemy. That's when Satan comes in. Let me have him. And I'll make him curse you too. I'll make him deny his message. I'll make him curse you. I'll make him go back and say it was all wrong. Then he tried him with everything he could, to all the great men and the friends that he used to have. But Job stood flat-footed, for he knew he had heard God's voice. Oh, God, help tomorrow night I can get that wings of the dove. I heard the voice of God that said something. And it's going to happen that way. Just the same as these other things has happened, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Now, Job knew it was going to happen. And he knew that God had told him that he was just, but they made him a sinner. So he waited then for the inspiration. Satan getting all the people and he'd come around, his comforters, the so-called, and accused him, but it didn't move him a bit. But when the Word of God became vindicated to him, He had heard of God by the hearing of the ear, but one day setting out at his lowest point, and while he was sitting there, and everyone accused him, even his wife telling him he was wrong, he's scraping his boils, and Elihu came down and rebuked him for being selfish about the way he was accusing God and so forth. And then at that time, it was when inspiration struck him. That's when the lightning began to flash. The thunders began to roar. That's when the inspiration struck the prophet. And he raised up and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days he'll stand upon this earth. Though the skin worms destroys his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. He saw he'd been talking about the trees, the botany life, how it dies and lives again. Water brings it back again, the smell of water, the scent of water, the results of water pouring upon a tree or something or seed that went in the ground. He said, but a man layeth down, he giveth up the ghost, his children come to honor him, he perceive it not. Oh, thou art hiding in the grave, Job 14. Till thy wrath be past. He said, but if a man dies, shall he live again? All the appointed times of my life, I'll wait till my change comes. Thou will call me and I'll answer. Thou hast appointed me bounds that I cannot pass. So forth. He knowed all these things. He watched the tree live. But what happened to a man when he died? He didn't raise up again. So God was showing this Redeemer. He wanted to see if there was somebody who could intercede for him. He had interceded for so many people. But now, is there somebody can speak for him? Could there somebody put his hand on Job or on a sinful man and a holy God and make bridge the way? Could he go to his house and knock at the door? Would he open the door and talk to him a while? But then, when the inspiration dropped into his heart, then he could see God. The lightnings are flashing. The thunders are roaring. And when it did, he stood up on his feet and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer in the last days he'll stand on the earth. See, he had begun to see God's reaction to his faith. Now, we wonder if we could see God. Is there a way that we could see him? Now, it was the only way God had trying Job out. He said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I see thee. But now I see thee with my eyes. The vision of the invisible had been made plain. He seen the cloud rolling around. He heard the flashing of the lightning, or saw it, and seen the rolling of the thunder, maybe on a clear day. And he seen God was in that cloud and in that lightning. He could see God with his natural eye. See, because the invisible was made visible. The visible vision of others was then vindicated clear to the natural eye. Just like faith with works, as we spoke on last night. Abraham had no Bible to read either, but he was a prophet. His vision and his faith. And it seemed wrong to others that he should think that way, that he should think that he's going to have a baby, but they did have the baby. Because his vision of the baby was what he was talking about. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. But when the baby was born, then the other people could see with the eye what he saw in a vision. And when you go to acting upon what you believe in your heart, then the people know God and know what's happening to you by the way you act. That's how you see God with the eye. But to him, all he had done that was good, all that he had done for others, he needed somebody to intercede for him. When the birth of the baby come, Isaac, the inspiration that had led him to this had vindicated his vision to where the people could see that what he had saw in the vision was actually the truth. Now, sometimes these great pulsations of faith come right in the time of crisis. It's usually crisis that drives us into this. It was a crisis that drove Job into it. Why is at the end of his life? His children was dead, his camels and all of his goods was gone and destroyed. And his own life, it broke out from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet with boils. It was a crisis that he pressed himself. There's where the inspiration struck him. Oh, men and women tonight, If you can look around and see how close we are to the coming of the Lord, you who put off the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you maybe relied upon some sensation or something that you've done that Satan can impersonate and can't have the real Spirit in you to go all the way in God's promises. How can a man that claims to have the Holy Ghost deny one word of this Bible being not right?
Amen.
You can't do it. No matter how religious you are, how many churches you belong to, how many books your name's on, if that genuine Holy Ghost is in you, which is this Word manifested, you'll see the message of the hour. Because it's a Holy Ghost that does it. But there has to be something light that off. Inspiration strike you. And if you pour water on the ground, and there's no seed in there to strike it, how can it ever bring forth anything? There's nothing there to bring forth. That is that only the elected of God will see it. The elected of God seen it in Noah's time, Moses' time, Jesus' time, the Apostles' time, Luther's time, Wesley's time, Pentecostal time. Because that was a seed that was on the earth when this inspiration was poured out. Now while the inspiration is poured out together, the bride together, it's only those who are elected will see it. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and reveal it to babes such as learn. Now, inspiration has to strike it. Now when the inspiration struck him, that did it. He had it then. Now we find out, it comes a time of these crises, when the press is right on, and you look around today, look at the condition we're living in. Aren't we living in a modern Sodom and Gomorrah? Hasn't the world come back? That was a Gentile world that was destroyed then by fire. Didn't Jesus say in St. Luke, the 17th chapter, the 28th, 29th, and 30th verse, that as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. What is a revealed? Is a secret made known. A revelation. Is to reveal or make known a secret. Now these things that's been hid all through the church ages is now being revealed, made known. Now we can say that, and if God didn't back that up, that's wrong. See, God don't need anybody to interpret His Word. He's His own interpreter. He said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. He said, let there be light, and there was. And we are not living in Luther's age, Wesley age, or the Pentecostal age. The Pentecostal age is only a restoration of the gifts coming back to the church. But we're living in the evening time. We're living in the time of the calling out of the bride. Just as it was hard for the Catholics to see Luther, and the Luthers to see the Wesley, and the Pentecostal, the Wesleys to see the Pentecostal age, so is it hard for the Pentecostals to see this age.
Amen.
It's always been that way because it's poured out upon an elected seed.
Hallelujah.
And that only. It's what the Bible teaches. They can't see it. Jesus even prayed for them. Said, there's blind and didn't know it. Revelation tells us in this lady of sin church age, when he was put out of the church, that they're naked, poor, miserable, blind, and don't know it. Back again, they can't see it. Can't understand it. They're so creeped up in traditions. But remember, the promised Word of God by the mouth of Jesus Christ, the very God that spoke creation into existence, He was the one before the foundation of the world that spoke the words and let there be and there was. For He said He was in the world and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. But as many as did know Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. The very Creator and the very Creator Himself, when He raised up Lazarus from the dead, He said, think this not strange, for the hour's coming that when all that's in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come out. The very God that said, let there be light, said the voice of the Son of Man would wake those that are in the grave. It has to happen in its season. He spoke, let there be male and female and so forth and all this, years and hundreds of years before it happened. The inspiration hit the prophet Isaiah. He said, unto us a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Years pass, months, years, days, weeks, years roll by, hundreds of years roll by. 800 years later, Emmanuel was born by a virgin. Why? It's because it was spoke by the lips of God's anointed prophet. A seed went forth. See? In that great hour, said, will you seek, ask me of a vision or a sign? He said, I'll give him a sign. An everlasting sign a virgin shall conceive. An everlasting sign. Now we find that in those hours of real stress, that's usually when the Spirit of God moves in. You let the Hebrew children walk right into the fiery furnace before he ever moved a hand. But when he moved, he moves. Now, we notice here that in Luke, the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, that he said, in the last days, that the Son of Man would reveal himself as he did just before Sodom and Gomorrah. And the same conditions would exist. He told about Moses, about Noah. How that the people was eating, drinking, and so forth, married and given in marriage. Then he come around, he said, now as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the time when the Son of Man is being revealed. Now watch, the Son of Man was revealed to Abraham's group as a man, a prophet, in a form of human flesh, an ordinary man with dust on his clothes. And Abraham called him Elohim. Now Jesus promises here that in the last days, the Son of Man will be revealed again to that same type of group, the royal seed of Abraham, just before the fire falls. Remember, the church never received any more witness, Abraham and them didn't. The promised son that they were looking for was brought right away after that. And the church is looking for the promised son. He will come right after the days of this ministry. He'll be revealed from the heavens. Now, we see it too plain. It's got to be. Now, the only thing there has to be is something pulsates, gets into a man. God vindicate and tells him and shows him that that is the thing to happen, and you're going to, like Moses did. He didn't want to deliver those children, but God spoke to him in a burning bush. He didn't want to go, but he had to go. Moses had heard of him being the great Jehovah, but then he could see him. He was in the form of a pillar of fire. I've heard of thee, but now I see thee. What was he seen in? His word vindicated. God told Abraham that his people would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, but he'd bring them out with a mighty hand. And notice, this burning bush gave vindication to what the prophet Abraham had said would take place. Moses said, I've heard of it, but now I see it. Now we've heard that in the last days that the Son of Man will come among his people and reveal himself to the people in the same way that he did at the just before the destruction of Sodom. The Son of Man. What did he do? He knew the secrets that was in Sarah's heart. Also, give the promise to Abraham. Abraham had heard God's voice. He might have seen him in many different ways. I don't know how he talked to him, through dreams or through prophecies. But this time, he saw him. I've heard of you. Now I see you. And the church has heard of God. They've read of him and what he did and the promises he made. But now we see him with our eyes. Just the same as Julia. I've heard of thee, but now I see thee. My, what a difference. Moses in that crisis cried out. And we find out in Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 13th and to the 16th verse, Moses in that great strain there with the children of Israel, inspiration struck him. And he said what he was supposed to say, not knowing he said it. See? Stand still and see the salvation of God. God had never spoke to him yet. See, the inspiration struck him. They said, why did you bring us out here? We ought to have died in Egypt. Was it because there's no graves down there? Bring us out here and let us die. We could have lived in peace as slaves until we died. But you brought us out here. Moses, a prophet, knowing he had access to God, was inspired. And he said, stand still, and you'll see the salvation of God. For the Egyptians you're looking at today, you'll never see him again. How did he know it was going to happen? How did he know? He didn't know what he spoke. But immediately after he spoke it, God told him how to do it. He said, Moses, don't cry to me. Take your staff in your hand and stretch out over the sea and tell the children of Israel to walk. Amen. The inspiration. That's why it strikes you if you're sick. That's why it strikes you if you're afflicted. Something's revealed to you. And you see that's been revealed. You speak out, I'm healed. Then God tells you what to do. Rise up and start walking. Amen. Then it's all over. When you can do it that way. That's the way God does it. Then you see God manifested through yourself. It was God that told him to do it. Now, then all that was present, all of Israel that was present, saw that inspiration that struck Moses. They seen God with their own eye blow that water back from one side to the other, and that pillar of fire led him right across the sea. He heard of God, then they seen God. Joshua was in an hour of crisis when the armies was routed and the sun was going down. Joshua was a prophet, and he knew that if them armies ever had a chance to unite again and come against him, he would lose more men. So in that hour of crisis, when something had to be done, there's only one thing. If he could keep them running, he'd rout them everyone down. But there wasn't enough light to do it. So Joshua stood, raised his hand and said, sun, stand still. And moon, hang over Ajalon till I get through with this battle. And the sun stood still. They heard Joshua speak, and then they seen God with their own eyes in action.
Hallelujah.
Sure. See, of course, it was a paradox to see something that seems to be impossible, yet it's true. But the sun stood still, says the Bible. I don't know what you people think. It thinks the world's run now, but anyhow, the sun stood still. Perhaps Joshua never have tried to figure out how he was going to do it, how God was going to do it. The only thing that he said was, sun, stand still. He said it perhaps not knowing what he was saying, because it was God that gave it to him. And he worked. Same thing in Mark 11:23. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said.
Amen.
But you can't stand there fumbling in your mind and say it. You've got to be inspired to say it. Amen.
Amen.
Excuse the expression. But that day, sitting there in that woods, and God's my judge, and I could fall dead on this pulpit. And that scripture stumped me all my life. Sitting there that morning in the woods. And I was thinking on that, and that boy spoke to me. He said that scripture is like all scriptures, is true. And I thought, well, how could it be? And he said, he said, speak, and it will be that way, don't doubt it. And I was talking to somebody sitting out in the woods. No squirrel's been there for 3 days. There's no squirrels there. And I sat in a sycamore thicket. Squirrels don't even come. Anyone hunt squirrels? No, they're not in sycamore. And I've been sitting there, wind blowing real hard about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I was thinking again. And I said, you're hunting. And you need squirrels just the same as Abraham needed a ram. Well, I thought that's always told me the truth. But this sounds funny. I got up from where I was sitting, looked all around. Where is that person that was talking to me? Nothing. Wind is blowing real hard. And I thought, could I fell asleep and dream that? No, I wasn't asleep. I sat up against a tree there, watching. Supposed to pick up Brother Woods and Brother Softman back there. Just a little bit, around 10 o'clock in the morning. Farmers all out there working, gathering their corn. I heard it again say, you are hunting and you need game. How many do you need? And I thought, now I don't want to overdo this. I'm just going to ask for three squirrels. I want young three red squirrels. I want them. He said, then speak about it. And I said, I am going to get three young red squirrels. He said, which way will they come? Well, I thought I went this far. There's something talking to me here, just the same as you hear me talking. God in heaven, this Bible over my heart, knows that that's true. And I said, well, I picked out a ridiculous place. An old dry limb hanging out there about 50 yards where my rifle was shot in. I said, the first one will be right there. And there he was. I rubbed my eyes and looked back. I turned my head and I thought, I don't want to shoot a vision. So I looked around again and there sat the squirrel. I threw a shell up in my gun, aimed up, and I could see his black eye, young red squirrel. I thought, maybe I'm asleep and I'll wake up in a few minutes. See, I'm dreaming about this. Well, I leveled down, shot the squirrel, and it dropped off the limb. I thought, well, I don't know. I thought, should I go over and look for it? And I walked over there, and there it laid. I picked it up, blood ran out of it. A vision don't bleed, you know. So I picked up, and it was a squirrel. I got real numb all over. And I looked around, I said, God, that was you. I said, thank you for this. Now I'll go out. He said, but you said... Do you doubt what you said? You said you'd get three. Now where will the next one come from? I thought, well, if I'm dreaming, I'm going to continue on. So I said, I picked out an old post over there of a tree that's all wrapped up with this here poison ivy. You ever get a squirrel in that? So I said, the next one will come right out of that poison ivy. And there sat that young red squirrel looking right at me. I set my gun down, rubbed my eyes, and turned around again. I thought, there he sat, turned his head sideways. I shot the squirrel. And then I started to go home. But said, you said three. Do you doubt what you said? I said, no, Lord, I don't doubt what I said. For you're confirming this is one scripture that stumped me. Not if I say, but if you say. Not if Jesus said it, but if you say it yourself. Now I thought, somehow I broke into that channel, and I know he's here because I'm almost beside myself. I thought, I'll make this one ridiculous sure enough. I said, there'll be a red squirrel come down off that hill, come right down this way and right by me, and go out and sit on that limb and look down there at that farmer. Here he come down the hill. Went right out and sat and looked at the farmer. And I shot him. Satan said to me, you know what? The woods are just full of them now. I sat there till 12 o'clock and not another thing happened. It goes to show that when God, He's the very creator of heavens and earth, listening in at Jeffersonville. Now, there's a family named Wright. Brother Woods and I went out to see them. They make the communion wine for the church. Little Edith was sitting there in the room, a little crippled girl. She'd been sick all of her life. And so we'd always look to God to heal her. Her sister, a widow, her husband had been killed. Her name was Hattie, very humble little woman. And while Brother Banks and I went out to get her a rabbit, they'd cooked a big cherry cobbler and made me sit down and eat. We was all sitting around a table. We were talking about this. It just happened a few days before. And while I was sitting around the table talking about this, all at once I said, what could have happened? I said, Brother Wright, you're an old man, hunting squirrels all your life. Brother Shelby, you're an expert squirrel hunter. Brother Woods, so are you. I've hunted them since a kid. Did you ever see a squirrel in a sycamore and locust thicket? No, sir. I said, it just wasn't there. I said, the only thing I know is just the same God. When Abraham needed a ram, he was Jehovah Jireh. He could provide for himself. I said, I believe it's the same thing. And little old Hattie sitting back there said, Brother Branham, that's nothing but the truth. She said the right thing. When she said that, the Holy Spirit dropped over into that channel again. Every one of them felt it. I raised up. I said, Sister Hattie, thus saith the Lord. You said the right word like the Syrophoenician woman said. The Holy Spirit speaking to me now and said for me to give you the desire of your heart. I said, now, if I be God's servant, if it is, it'll happen. If I ain't God's servant, then I'm a liar, and it won't happen. I'm a deceiver. I said, now try and see if it's the Spirit of God. She said, Brother Branham, everybody was crying. Said, what shall I ask? I said, you got a crippled sister sitting there. I had $20 in my pocket to give to her that she had put in a donation. A woman don't make a capital of $200 a year on that little old poor farm. Her and two boys. Her boys had got to be regular rickies. School days, you know, and just sassing their mother, 15, 16 years old. And all they were standing over there laughing at what I was saying. And I said, you've got a father and mother sitting here, so you haven't got any money. Ask for the money and see if it comes in your lap. Ask for your sister and see if she don't get up and walk. I knew then, like Job, there's just something you know when you strike it. I said, I know. Here I stand before about 10 people. I said, if this doesn't happen, then I'm a false prophet. I said, what shall I ask? I said, it's up to you to make your decision. I cannot make your decision. She looked around the little woman. And all at once, she said, Brother Branham, the greatest desire in my heart is the salvation of my two boys. I said, I give you your boys in the name of Jesus Christ. And them sniggering, laughing, fun-making boys fell across her mother's lap and surrendered their life to God and was filled with the Holy Ghost right there. Wow! That is truth. God has the authority to kill me before these people across the nation. Many of you here, and in Jeffersonville, I can hear the tabernacle ring out now. Amen, because we're sitting right there listening. Hallelujah. At it. Yes, because it's the truth.
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Yes, sir.
It's when the God, by His sovereign grace,
yes, sir.
It happens. Outside of that, it won't happen. In that crucial moment, think of the man and the people that I'm acquainted with, God bypassing all the celebrities and everything, to give a poor little old humble woman can't hardly sign her own name. And He knowed that what she'd asked for. And that's the greatest thing. For her sister is now dead. And her mother and father has to die. The money would have perished, but the souls of her boy is eternal. And that was the hour for them to catch it. And just as soon as I said, I give you your boys in the name of Jesus Christ, there they fell across their mother's lap. How many in here knows that to be truth?
Amen.
You know?
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Why? Inspiration. Now, I have heard of thee that thou could create squirrels. I've heard of thee that thou could create a ram. But now I see thee with mine own eye. A manifestation, the vision made visible. When God promised anything, that's what He'll do. Notice, when you have a need, perhaps like Joshua, he had a need. He never thought of the circumstances. He spoke it. And it was God. You believe the sun stood still? So do I. How did it do it? Don't try to figure it out. But it did it. Joshua did it and raised his hands. That crucial moment he had access to God. And that's what happened. It was timely. The Spirit of the living God had seen the need of it and pushed upon Joshua to say it. The same God seen the need of Abraham. The same God seen the need of confirming this Scripture to me that that Scripture is true too. The same God seen the need of those two predestinated boys. And it was that moment He proved it and confirmed His Word. St. Mark 14, we see a woman believed on Him. She had had need and seen He had need for His feet to be washed. She had only to be inspired to go into action. Now listen close to that before we close. She only had to be inspired to go into action because she had already heard about Him. She heard that He forgave a woman of her sins, a harlot, and said, which one of you is, without sin, cast the first stone? She'd heard about Him. But now she's seen him. She was inspired to serve him. That's the only thing you have to be. Let the Holy Spirit tell you that you're a sinner. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Let the Holy Spirit prove to you by the Scriptures that you're scripturally wrong. And what? Because it'll only stir through one straight channel of every Scripture of God. It won't bypass for nothing. If you do, it'll never do you any good, because the Holy Spirit can inspire to you. But if the soul isn't right with God, as we've been through this week, it's no good anyhow. Remember, false anointed ones will rise in the last days.
Amen.
Not false Jesus, it's false Christ,
Amen.
Anointed ones. And will deceive the very elected if it were possible. Notice, she had a service to do for him. She had heard of him. Now she's seen him with her eyes. She had a service to do, and she had nothing to do it with. So she rushed forward anyhow to do the service. God furnished the water and towels to wash his feet. She had heard of a living God all of her life, but now she's seen him with her eyes. She knew it was him, and inspiration struck her and said, "This is the messenger." He needed a service. She had nothing to serve him by. His feet was dirty. But she rushed forward anyhow to do him a service because she was inspired to do it. Oh, backslidden church member, denominational man or woman, can't you see the need Jesus has tonight?
Amen.
Inspiration can only strike you. This is the hour to do it. But she's seen him with her eyes. The others there were even mocking him. They didn't believe his message. Frankly, the host, the pastor host, old Simon, had got him down there to make fun out of him. They didn't believe he was a prophet. So then when it seemed like the devil had worked it just right in for him to say this, he said in himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman that was at his feet. If he was a prophet. See, it wasn't even revealed to him who he was. There couldn't be any inspiration striking because there's nothing there to strike to. But it was struck to her. Her eyes had seen beyond his criticism. She believed he was. See, the word of the prophets, she knew that that was all the words of the prophets was vindicated in him. She'd heard he was on earth, but now she sees him. Watch what she done. She's seen the Word made flesh, the Messiah, the Emmanuel. When she gave vent to her pulsation of faith, of revelation of who he was in the time she was living, that he was God's Lamb for such sinners as she was, she went forth to serve his needs without knowing how she would do it. That's where a genuine healing comes. When it's revealed to you, that he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity. And with his stripes, you were healed. When it's inspired to you to see his presence here of St. Mark 11, or St. Luke 17:30, that he's going to reveal himself in the last days among his people in human flesh like he did before Sodom. When you see that and something strikes you, the doctor might say the cancer's still there. The patient might say, I don't know how I'm going to walk, but I'm going to walk anyhow. We don't know how it's going to do. She went forward to serve him because inspiration struck her that was the hour, that was the messenger, that was the Messiah who was to heal, and she believed it. And he needed a service done to him, and she went forward without anything showing that she could do it. She just went upon her inspiration. Watch. God broke up the fountains of the tear glands in her eyes. The same eyes that had heard, ears that had heard him, the eyes that seen it broke up with joy. Then that her God-given long hair, with them tears flowing down, God furnished her towels with her hair and with her tears. She served his needs, the need of the living God. She had heard about, but now she's seen him. She could do him a service. Oh, sinner. Why don't you do likewise? As you see the needs now, that he needs you, your service. Now you see the one who once you heard about in the Bible. We seen him last night come in here and what he done. Amen. We see him meeting after meeting. And sometimes we sit just as cold and indifferent and say, yes, I know the Scripture says it. Oh, I've seen it done. See, we have no enthusiasm. It don't seem to strike us right. There don't seem to be something like if you was taking a match and striking it, if the match hasn't got the sulfur right on the head of the match, it cannot strike. And you can rake and rake and rake, but if some chemical has killed the sulfur on there, it will not strike. There'll be no light. But if that chemical, the sulfur, the strike against the metal, will still on there, when it strikes, it'll light. And when the true, genuine vindication of the Scriptures of this last day message, and you see the presence of Jesus Christ, that you had heard what He'd done in His life, and hear the Scriptures say He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just before this Sodom condition is fired over with the wrath of God, see Jesus return amongst His people, formed in human flesh, and do the same thing He done. My Lord, strike our souls to glory in order to do something to us. Why? It's dropping on that. You heard in the Bible what He did. How the woman touched His garment. He turned around and told her what her trouble was, and her faith made her whole. Now He promised that He would do that same thing again just before the world would be burnt and the world would be in a Sodom condition. The New Testament, the prophet, the God prophet, the prophet of prophets, the God of all the prophets, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God manifested in the flesh, the creator of Genesis. Hallelujah! It's His word. He said it would happen. And we see Sodom condition. We see the world in that condition. Now we see Him come down and do exactly what He said He would do. Now we've heard of Him. Now we've seen. I've heard of you with my ears. Now I see you with my eyes.
Amen.
Amen. I see Him with my own eyes. What an hour it should be. What a time it should be. The confirmation of His Word. Always, when the Word is confirmed, that's God speaking in His Word, making Himself visible that you can see. Now, here's a little old prostitute off the street. She falls at the altar before Jesus, and she washed His feet with the tears and wiped them with her hair. God honored, He said, wherever this gospel is being preached, let this be told for a memorial to her. Why? Look how filthy she was. But something struck. She seen the word of the promise from the Garden of Eden. This woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head. She seen the Messiah that had been born of a virgin. She heard He was to be born of a virgin. But they heard that man was on earth. She heard there was a young rabbi prophet who healed the sick. She believed that. And here she come down the street walking around, looking around, and she looked over there and seen the great party going on. She slipped up to the fence and looked through, and there He was. There He was! Something said, that's Him! That's all she needed to be inspired. See what happened? She seen the Word of God made flesh. She had heard with her ear, now she saw with her eyes. Now everybody knows that we have a promise of the church condition in the last day. The church in its present condition can never fulfill the commandments of God. The Great Commission can never call a bride out. Which one would do it? The Pentecostals? I should say not.
No,
the rest of them. That's a shuck that's on the wheat. They come out and look just exactly like the wheat, but there was no wheat to it. It opens up, but the grain comes out of that. They organize. They kill themselves. There's where they die. They're stalks. But the wheat has come up through there, and now it's begun to form in the bride form. The corn of wheat that fell into the ground through the dark ages. It had to die. That critic saying, why would a God of mercy could open up the Red Sea, stand and let that poor Christians be eat up with lions and burnt and everything, instead of this like he laughed about it. The poor ignoramus, did he not know except a corn of wheat fall into the ground? It had to die through those dark ages like any other corn of wheat has to go beneath the earth and be buried to bring forth in the first Reformation them two blades of Luther, the stalk. It had come forth in the Wesleyans out yonder to bring forth the pile and the tossels of the great missionary age. It had to come forth in the Pentecostal for the restoration of the gifts, almost to deceive the very elect. It looks like a wheat grain. Open it up, there's no wheat there at all, it's only shuck. But back in there, then they begin to form the oneness organization, the Trinity organization, the two-ness organization, the Church of God organization, and all organizing just death exactly. And now what happens? But it's a shelter for the wheat. It's been growing through it all the time. Now it's beginning to pull away. The wheat's beginning to be seen. This is not a Pentecostal age. This is a latter-day age. This is a bride age. This is the evening light. This is when Malachi 4 must be fulfilled to follow God's pattern. This is Luke 17:30 to be fulfilled. This is the scriptures of Jeremiah and all the rest of them that Joel has spoke of these days. This is that day. I have heard, Lord, that it was coming, but now I see it with my eyes. No matter how many false impersonators rise, that jambers and jambers with all their gimmicks, to do everything that Moses did, never shuck him or Aaron at all. Amen. They knowed, were like Job, they knowed who their inspiration come from. They knowed it was thus saith the Lord. And the same Bible spoke of them, said they come in the last days impersonators.
Amen.
Those religious denominations, when something started, who started first, Moses or them? If they had started first, Moses had been the mimic. Now we got all kinds of discerners and everything else. It's trying to throw your mind from the genuine thing of God, which God has proven to be the truth by His Scripture. We've heard of it with our ears.
Amen.
Now we see it with our eyes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You believe it?
Yes, sir.
All our hearts.
Yes, sir.
Inspiration. And that day when the Son of Man is being revealed.
Yes.
A Son of Man, Jesus Christ, made manifest amongst His people.
Amen.
A man walked down there before Abraham and his group. Just an ordinary looking man. Dust on his clothes. He had his back turned to the tent. He said, "Where is your wife Sarah?" Not S-A-R-R-A-S-A-R-A-H. A-B-R-A-H-A-M, not A-B-R-A-M. Called his name. Said, "Where is she?" Said, "She's in a tent behind you." Said, "I'm going to visit you according to the time of life." And she laughed up her sleeve. Said, "Why did she laugh?" Now, he promised. Them people was the one that was looking for a promised son. Now, I don't care how much the people act in these denominations that they're looking for Christ. Their actions prove they're not.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Your actions speak louder than your words.
Amen.
All they're thinking about is making denominational members.
Amen.
But there are some people, one here and there, that's looking for the coming of the Lord. They're watching for those. Only those will He reveal Himself to. Only those will understand. Just the elected understood who He was. Just think, there's about maybe 3 million people, Jews, on earth. There wasn't one third of them ever knowed He was there until He's done come and gone. But He revealed Himself to those who were waiting. John the Baptist and the apostles that had been called by John and so forth. And blind Anne in the temple. Simeon the priest that was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he was going to see the Christ. All those great religious leaders, theologians and things, blind as they could be. Only can the rain raise a seed if the seed's already there. And as you was a germ first in your father, and he didn't know you, yet you were in your father. But through a bedding ground of your mother, you were made manifest in his likeness, and then he could talk to you. God, the great God, if you've got eternal life, then the germ of eternal life was in God at the beginning, and you were there. You were in his thinking, your name and all. And he, by foreknowledge, ordained you to see this, and you that was not ordained will never see it. But remember, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the hour is here.
Amen.
Won't you believe Him?
Yes.
Give your lives to Him. I have to stop. It's after 9. Let's bow our heads.